All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again. Going places that I've never been.
And right now they're thinking it's me who's eating.
Not this week, buddy.
Well, what's the what do you got there, Matt? Do you have a snack of the show?
I have the snack of the. Hold on, let me get the chocolate off my hand.
Oh, that's hot.
Very yummy.
That's fantastic. Just got a little titillated by that.
Ew. I have here.
You know, we killed this bit like 2 weeks ago.
Right? I don't care, because I found these things in your in the studio today, and I want them.
Okay, what are they?
They are the Delacray.
Delacray.
Roulet dip, which is pretty much purulines for those of you who don't know these fancy versions of those, but they are good.
It's like a little round hollow cookie with chocolate on the outside.
Yeah, it's like them little vanilla wafery cookies that they rolled up with some chocolate on them.
That's delightful.
It is delightful. What are we here to do again? We're doing a show?
We're doing episode 56.
We are doing episode 56.
One for the road.
Why are we calling it One for the Road again?
Because we're on vacation next week.
That's right, bitches.
Booyah.
We're taking a week off.
That's right, because our asses are so behind that we need a week to catch up.
Word.
I thought you were just on vacation.
I went on a vacation, but that didn't affect the show.
Oh, this is another vacation that you take.
Well, I'm not going anywhere.
You're just always on vacation,
aren't
you?
I'm going to catch up on my editing.
His
I have some
Big
new.
Kev, his life's a vacation.
A professional vacationer.
I am going to do some new Big Kev's Geek Stuff IDs.
Ooh.
I have some organization I have to get down and actually crack the whip, literally, on some of these workers in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff product archive.
Me and Mr. Fantastic are going to work on
each other.
Getting that godforsaken message board cleaned up and maybe back in some sort of tip-top shape.
Yeah, that's great. And you know what we're starting actually the week we come back, which will be the week after next?
Can I take a guess?
Go ahead.
Is it the Action Figure Chop Shop?
Big Kev's Action Figure Chop Shop. Is that page just about ready to roll?
Oh, it's ready, baby.
Is it? Okay, great, because our first artist who sent us his piece on their first assignment.
Right.
He's going to be calling in. We're going to be talking to him live on the show. Well, not live, but, you know, taped on the show.
Ooh, lolly.
The week after next.
Wowzer.
It is exciting.
He'll be alive, right?
I don't even want to say which one of them that it is. But anyway, so some of the other guys have contacted me. They're a little behind on their projects, but they're starting to finish up. They're starting to come in.
Good.
I hear things look really great, and Fantastic is going to get the page up and running so you can see these guys in progress photos.
Right.
You can hear about how they're making these things. You can find out where their stuff is on sale, what their eBay usernames are, and if they have a website, you can check out some more of their fine artistry. We're really going to throw the big push behind the Chomp Shop. And this is also an open invitation to other artisans out there who would like to be part of the Chop Shop. You know, just drop us a line at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Go over to the message board. Figure out a way to reach us, and we'll bring you on board. We got plenty of assignments to do. We got plenty of ideas to work out. I know one of the guys who's kind of not really a member of the Chop Shop. I want to say our puppet friend.
Okay.
I just want to say our puppet friend is to my understanding, he's working on a very special puppet.
Aw.
For the show.
A lot of fabric.
There may be some fabric involved. It is a Muppet, after all.
Well, and it's a Snuffleupagus.
Yes, that's it. That's it, Fant. It's a pretty one, so it's of you. He's working on stuff. I know he has some friends that are interested maybe in being part of the Chop Shop. So we're reaching out to anyone out there who thinks that they can hang with the guys in the Chop Shop, be part of the Chop Shop. Bring it on. Our core guys are going to remain our core guys as long as they keep doing the assignments. And we're going to give the Chop Shop's going to be our big push for the spring. That's going to be our, what do they call that in TV? Our sweeps.
Our sweeps.
Our big spring sweeps.
So when we come back, are we in sweeps?
We are. We're going to be in, that's what it's going to call it. We're going to call it sweeps.
That's Somebody write exciting. That down so that we don't forget it.
And we're also introducing a new character on the show this evening.
We are. It's
we
true.
We are. Very excited. But let's not spoil it now.
Okay.
Let's move on into the news.
All right. Let's do that. We have a couple of corrections, updates.
Oh, lovely. I love when we're wrong.
As per usual. Naturally, last week, you know, we record the show on Wednesdays. I wake up the next morning, and the first thing I do as part of my morning routine is I hit all of the good old websites looking for news. And the first thing I read is a correction to something I had just got done saying the night before. Lawrence Fishburne, Cowboy Curtis, not the voice of Galactus in the upcoming Fantastic Four film, as it was reported.
Lawrence Fishburne, what was his name? Mobius?
Morpheus.
Morpheus. Morpheus from The Matrix, the voice of the Silver Surfer.
That is correct. There was an update online the very next day, naturally. So there it is.
look at his face. He's pretending like, I just thought of that myself. I completely deduced that. I had no prior knowledge.
Where are you getting all of these descriptions from? Look, I'm sitting here looking at Matt.
I've known you for a while, right?
Yeah,
I can read
you. I've known you since you were a preteen.
Gross. Whoa, hey. Gross. Go to the next one.
A good listener of the show, Anthony from Long Island.
Oh, Anthony from Long Island, one of our faithful listeners.
Wrote in to let us know that Booster Gold did not actually die in 52. He indeed faked his death. So the discussion we had in regards to the Booster Gold miniseries that was coming out and whether or not he was dead and how they were bringing him back. There it is. He didn't actually die.
So in the year-long series, the weekly series called 52 from DC Comics, supposed to take place between, I guess, the end of Crisis 2
and before
a year later. All the books are a year ahead now.
Right.
That stuff that happens in between is all taking place in this book called 52.
Right.
And in that book, it would seem that Booster Gold died. But in fact, Anthony from Long Island tells us that Booster faked his death, which is probably going to make it real easy for them to bring him back in right. his own series.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. So there we go. We've moved past the corrections. Let's start off with the rumor mill for the week.
Okay, the rumor mill. Right. Do we need some sort of special
teaser for rumor mill?
Some audio tag for the rumor mill?
I don't know, but I know another audio tag we're going to have to get fired up for later on.
Oh, boy.
We'll get there.
Oh, boy. You're going to blow the dust off of that one, are we?
So earlier in the week, it came out, or we found out that Ed Norton was going to be the Incredible Hulk in the next Incredible Hulk film by Marvel.
Really? I thought he was going to be David Banner. Which is it?
It's Bruce Banner, Incredible Hulk.
Ah, but in the TV show, it was David Banner.
Is it David Banner?
Yep. In the TV show, it was David Banner.
Yeah. Really?
And his middle name was Bruce.
Too gay.
Well, one of the things that followed with the casting choice of Ed Norton was that this might be a different Hulk. He's going to, maybe his size will be a little bit different. Maybe he'll be a little bit smarter, a little bit more intelligible than the other Hulk, which quickly led to some discussion with Avi Arad at an interview he did where he said something about the color of the Hulk is going to change in the next film. So naturally, everybody assumed gray would be the appropriate color. And then the rumors about, well, is it going to be like Maybe is it going to be Fix-It or what's going to happen?
A Mr. Fix-It storyline would be awesome, except I just don't see them.
It wouldn't work early on, I don't think.
It's going to be a brand new Yellow Hulk.
Oh, it might be.
No, they did yellow in Sin City. So they have to pick a color that nobody has been yet, really.
Well, apparently...
Sin City?
Apparently, Sin City. Mr. Marvel movies...
Wait, hold on. Sin City.
I don't know this one.
By Frank Miller movie?
The Hulk?
No, they already did a guy in yellow.
A guy in yellow is not the same as the Hulk in yellow. You're talking about Yellow Bastard?
Yeah. They did him in yellow.
Please, they did a movie character in yellow.
There
is a yellow guy. You're absolutely right.
I was trying to move on.
You're
Fantastic.
Right. I was trying to move on. I'm sorry.
It's all my fault for trying to correct Fantastic.
My bad.
Mr. Marvel movies has come out and said that he was kind of speaking in jest, perhaps tongue-in-cheek, when he said that there would be a color change, and that, in fact, it will not be a gray Hulk. It will be a green Hulk. So in the span of a week, he's changed colors and back again.
Well, that's going to be really interesting. And from what I'm hearing about it, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the Ang Lee movie.
No, not at all. Completely new, all original, very different.
And scary.
Yes.
Because it's really been zero time since that movie came out.
Pretty much.
Huh.
All right. But while we're in the rumor mill, let's go for one more. Most of you by now, I'm assuming by the time you hear this episode, have seen the online images of Heath Ledger as the Joker. Now, there are two distinct images that are online. There is a shot on set where it's a blurry vision of what appears to be Heath Ledger. The most distinct characteristic you can see is that his hair is definitely green. You can see that the skin is pale but not white. You can make out some sort of scarring, although it's not defined. That picture, we think, might actually be a legitimate picture. The second picture, which has been debunked in the course of a week, apparently, is the much clearer close-up picture of Heath Ledger, again with the green hair, again with the gray face, all the scarring. Some of the scarring I happen to actually enjoy.
You enjoy scarring? Are you saying that the mugshot is fake?
Yes, I'm saying that the mugshot is fake. Now, let me tell you. It was originally thought that it had come from a trustworthy source when it was first leaked online. Mm-hmm. Warner Brothers then said it's absolutely not true, which didn't convince me that it wasn't true. That convinced me that Warner Brothers was trying to cover it up. But then another guy came out and said, look, this was done in Photoshop and I could show you the source images. And now they believe that this guy might actually be the guy that leaked it. What it is there is an image of, it's a headshot image of mm-hmm. Heath Ledger that existed. That's where the head came from. As far as him holding up the color palette, there's an image of Orlando Bloom in the Legolas outfit from pre-Lord of the Rings that was online right when it was announced that he was going to be Legolas, and they were starting to show some pictures of that. And he's holding that color palette in a color test, and everything about the position of him holding the palette is the same exact thing from the Heath Ledger picture. So it's believed that someone took the head from the Ledger picture, the body from the Legolas picture, morphed them together, did some color work as far as the green hair, the scarring, and the gray skin, and that's how he came up with that
I thought
picture.
It was very good. There's only one little part that kind of made it questionable for me, and that was his hair. It's still a little grainy, so you can look at it, but his hair to me looks like the green was applied after the fact rather than the hair is actually green.
Actually green.
But I'm no expert on that.
So,
I am an expert on that.
Yes. Okay.
And so that I will say that I was both pleased and disappointed when it comes to this story today.
Okay.
I was pleased that it was debunked because it seemed really to me at this point a half-assed effort. And so what I had hoped was that it was fake, but it did seem very real. And then when I did see the pictures that you're probably looking at right now if you're checking out our show on your iPod or on QuickTime or checking out the images over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, the images that Matt mentioned that we believe probably are actual images of Heath Ledger taken while he's on the set,
right,
didn't really fill me with much confidence as to the mugshot being fake,
right.
So I don't know what to believe. I sure hope to God he's going to look a little bit better than he does now. Because right now it looks like Heath Ledger's going to a costume party as the Joker.
I liked some of the concepts behind the image, but the image definitely seemed a little preliminary, I think.
Right, and he had some sort of scarring, and what made the sort of grin on his face is kind of scars that go up from the corner of his mouth. It's almost as if someone has ripped his mouth farther open than it would actually go.
That was the scarring that I was talking about that I liked. I like that idea of the grin being kind of forced upon him in this brutal way, because I think it will help brutalize the character and bring him out of that silly realm that they're trying to get away from, and bring him more into that psychotic realm that they want it to be. And I did like that idea, and I hope that that's something with how they go.
Well, like I said, the jury is still out. I think we're going to probably have to wait longer before we see more images of this. I hope that somebody out there, despite the fact that I think the toys by and large failed from Batman Begins, I hope somebody out there is planning on doing toys and posters and other merchandise that involves the new Joker, because I need it.
Speaking of the Joker, have you seen the solicitations for that next wave of Batman Superman figures, the Ed McGuinness line with the Joker figure in it?
I did see the Joker figure that is coming from the next Batman.
He looks very
Superman
nice.
Line.
I actually approve of him very much.
I did too. I was surprised. I thought he might look like kind of the stylization, but apparently the way that Ed draws that character is different than he draws the other heroic characters. So naturally, he's going to look different, and he looks good.
Okay, so moving away from Batman now and into the ridiculous, more casting news for Speed Racer.
Oh, good.
Why are we following this so close? I don't know.
Because you're the one who gets the news.
I'm going to get a slice of pizza.
Go ahead. And while you're doing that, I'm going to quickly say that Matthew Fox, who you may know as Jack from Lost, is going to be, or it looks like is going to be, Racer X in the upcoming Wachowski Brothers Speed Racer film.
Now, so far we've talked about... is it
Emil Hirsch
as Speed Racer? John Goodman and
Susan Sarandon,
golf ball eyed Susan Sarandon as his parents,
right?
And now Matthew Fox,
and don't forget Christina Ricci.
Oh,
as
Christina
Trixie.
Ricci as Trixie, right? I forgot that.
And now Matthew Fox as Racer X.
But who has Chim Chim?
They haven't cast him yet.
And the kid,
I don't know.
The weird name,
yes, I should.
Chugi Kugilagili,
whatever the hell his name is. Don't believe he's been cast yet. Maybe it'll be Shia LaBeouf. He's in everything else that's coming out.
Apparently, Shia LaBeouf is the new Harrison Ford.
Yeah, apparently.
He really looks like Harrison Ford in some of the videos and stills that I've seen.
Yeah.
He looks like a young Harrison Ford.
And it is, they are saying that it is Indy's son.
Okay.
Is
now,
it possible?
How are they explaining this in continuity?
Is it possible that Shia, whatever his name is actually Harrison Ford's son and we just don't know it?
No, I don't think so.
Possible?
Not possible.
No.
Unless he had some sort of illegitimate job.
The point possible, being is that there is an established canon when it comes to this character, and no son has been mentioned thus far.
So far, the rumors that I've heard around that are that he definitely specifically references the fact that he has a daughter, but he never specifically references the fact that it's his only child.
It could just be an illegitimate son. Huh? Like Harrison Ford's son?
Irrelevant, because in the future, in the young Indiana Jones Chronicles, when he's the old man, there's no reference made whatsoever to him having a
son. Again, he references the fact that he has a daughter, but he doesn't say that she's the only child.
Okay, but there's no reference whatsoever.
Well, so you can...
All right, I know.
You can fudge it so it works.
Right,
you can MacGyver it so that it works. Why
Kevin,
don't you move on with your news?
Let me tell you about midichlorians.
Okay, let me tell you about... a new book coming from Marvel.
Okay.
Are you excited?
No.
Well, you won't be.
All right.
The Civil War Chronicles, a monthly series that's going to allow readers to read the entire Civil War again in chronological order.
Ooh, I do kind of like that.
The series will present repacked version of Civil War and Civil War Frontline in chronological order. And we'll also feature some of the more important stories that occurred outside of those two books.
I do kind of like that.
Do you?
I do. It gives readers who didn't have a chance to read Civil War the first time around a go at it without having to buy all the issues or download them illegally. I think it's a good way to handle a long, involved storyline.
They will also feature some editorial stuff on the side, which will explain some of the other events in context of the as it applies to the rest of the Marvel universe as to what's going on. The first issue, which will be coming out in July, will be extra length.
Wait, does this mean I get to read it cheap?
Yes,
I don't know if it's cheap. Now, see, they're not indicating. Now, if they were going to do something like that, like go black and white on cheap paper for $1.99, but you're getting three stories in it, I mean, I might understand and appreciate that. However, the way it is now, if you didn't read Civil War, do you really want to go back and read Civil War?
Some people may.
And B, if you already read Civil War, do you want to go back and read it again?
I don't know.
Well, they're definitely going to collect it. It's going to be collecting
it
somehow.
Is fine, but now they're re-releasing it as issues, not collection. It's not a collection. It's going to be a standard issue.
Right, but the people who buy the collection will be reading it again. So
am I just
if
so
they
jaded
again,
that I can't appreciate this on a level that you guys can?
No, I really just think that it's a second opportunity for maybe people who haven't read it. I don't think people who have read it already are going to pick this up, but maybe someone who's interested or whose interest was picked in the series will take this as an opportunity to jump in without having to deal with all of the hassle of finding all those issues.
I wouldn't read that, but I would read a couple trades. Yeah. I would pick those up.
Okay, so.
Also coming out last week, Fallen Son, The Death of Captain America, Avengers.
Nice.
Written by Jeff Loeb.
Oh, there you go.
From Heroes.
Mr. Loeb.
And drawn by one Ed McGuinness.
Aw.
Another frequent topic on this program.
Apparently.
So that's come out. It was a good read. I don't say I like it as much as the Wolverine one.
Right.
You're which biased. Came out. But, yeah, it was all right.
Thanks.
Well, in coming out soon comic book news, I know that our good friend, Mr. Brian Lynch, is ecstatic.
Who?
Exactly. He's ecstatic at the fact who? That the Brian Spike who? Asylum. You remember we had him on the show?
I remember somebody we used to be friends with named Brian Lynch. Who we haven't heard not sight nor sound of in 6 months.
I still haven't gotten that Muppet script. Spike Asylum, his Spike miniseries that was out last year, is due to hit the shelves May 16th, 2007. So look for that in a couple of weeks.
Interesting. And Matt, let's talk about this little book. It is the official companion volume 2 to, what's that TV show that you like?
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Right. The official companion we told you about weeks ago was a great read. And, of course, following up on that is the official companion volume 2.
Right.
Contains... scenes and scripts and...
It's the rest of the episode scripts, more individual in-depth characterizations, more equipment characters, descriptions. It's a good book, for
lots
the brown coats.
Lots of really great pictures. If you're a Firefly fan, you're all over this book.
All over it.
It's really, really amazing. I have to tell you, I'm already about halfway through it, and the detailed pictures of the props and the ship designs and the script work, it's just... I mean, this is such a complete companion along with Volume 1. There's not a thing at this point that you shouldn't know about this show.
Right.
I mean, based on the two companions from the TV show and the companion from the movie.
I haven't quite gotten there yet, but I noticed there's a section of Volume 2 that's dedicated to unused scripts and storylines.
Right.
Which I'd be interested to take a look at because... God only knows we want to know what was supposed to happen but never did. So
maybe we will know in there's a comic upcoming. Yep. Oh, but that takes place before the film.
Before the film.
Oh, well, so I guess technically
it could be.
It could be some of that material. And speaking of
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Right. The Firefly Serenity fans will now be able to show their appreciation for the program and the movie when they buy their new lunchbox.
I'm taking it to work every day.
Serenity Lunchbox coming from your pals over at Dark Horse, same people who are also doing the River Tan statue, the PVC set. And they are doing a lunchbox which features the Serenity logo on one side.
And
a fruity Odie bar kind of iconic image on the other side.
Excellent.
And the border of the lunchbox will be the money, the currency that was created for the film. So that will be very exciting.
Do they say if it comes with a thermos?
They don't say if it comes with a thermos.
Better come with a thermos.
Is it a 70s metal lunchbox or an 80s plastic?
No. It's a metal lunchbox, but it does not say whether it comes with a thermos or not. The ones they have put out have not come with thermoses.
It depends on who puts them out. Really? Some of them do, some of them don't.
Dark Horse ones?
I don't remember.
I hadn't noticed whether Dark Horse ones came with one or not.
Do you have anything else right now, or can I move on?
Well, if you really want to move on, go ahead.
Spider-Man, of the Broadway musical. Julie Taymor is working on it, as well as U2's Bono and The Edge, creating all new music and lyrics for the project. I'm not even joking.
Did
I'm
you get this one on April 1st?
Yeah, I swear.
Did not get this one on April 1st. I got it on Playbill.com. I got it on Yahoo News, Google News. It's all over the internet this past week.
But I still haven't found the Sandman's lair. Exactly.
Well, they can do pretty much anything. If they can do Monty Python, right, and they can do Such Army of Darkness, they can do anything.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. There have been other superhero musicals out there. There was a Batman musical at one point, and there was a Superman one too. It's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman, I believe, was the title of the Superman musical. So it's not the first time that they've tried to tackle this. It's not the first time that the geek realm has worked its way into the musical. The Lord of the Rings musical is up in Canada. There was a Star Wars one-man show on Broadway. There's the Spamalot, which some would argue is definitely geek-related. As far as Monty Python is concerned. So I'm not saying it's going to be good, but I am saying it is a project in the works.
Huh.
Thanks, Kev.
I'm not really excited about it. It's just like everything else. It comes once in a blue moon, and, you know, where they try to get one of these crazy musicals off the ground. And it just, I just think it's silly.
So let me ask you, what are you excited about?
Let me tell you what I'm excited about, Mr. Fantastic. They have found real kryptonite.
I heard about this. I hate Superman, so I'm jazzed.
A mineral found by geologists in Serbia shares virtually exactly the same chemical composition as fictional kryptonite from Superman.
Sodium, lithium, boron, silicate, hydroxide. Now, this formula for kryptonite made its appearance in these in the latest Superman Returns film. It was on the side of a package, I believe, that Lex Luthor had that was supposed to contain kryptonite in it, and that's where they're getting that chemical formula from. I'm not sure if that formula existed in the comic books prior to that, but
did they actually say what the effects of this chemical are? I did read that article and I skimmed it.
It's a mineral.
Mr. Fantastic, as we all know, kryptonite, green kryptonite, which would be this kryptonite, makes Superman weak when he is in the presence of it.
Thank you, Kevin. What I meant was the effects of the real chemical.
As far as I know, it is just a mineral. It does not exist in the green crystalline format that we've come to know and love as kryptonite.
Right.
It does exist in a white powdery format, kind of like cocaine.
So I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist here, but I'm thinking that if Lex Luthor is shipping kryptonite, he's not going to label it kryptonite, so he's going to label it something else.
Maybe.
Possibly something that takes the form of white powder.
It's also not big, large green crystals, as it's been in Superman, but a white powdery substance which contains no fluorine and is non-radioactive.
Thank you, Kevin.
In addition, they are not calling it kryptonite. They are calling it Jaderite. Just wanted to throw that out there. Kev, do you know what they're calling it?
Jaderite? Did you guys just say it was a white
powder? For those of you at home, I'd like to explain the space-time continuum.
What? Did you guys just say it was white powder and I missed it?
We had an entire conversation based on the fact
that No, we didn't.
All right, can we move on in the news?
You know,
I
have something pretty exciting.
It went on display last Wednesday, April 25th, and will be on display again Sunday, May 13th.
There you go.
Where is the museum, Fantastic, in case people want to go see kryptonite?
Unfortunately for you, Matt, and you, Kev, but It's in London, England.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
The Natural History Museum in London, England. Well, there you go. So anyone in England who's hearing the show, on May 13th, you can go check out Real Kryptonite. Send us pictures.
Beginning this summer in Chicago, there's going to be an exhibit called Finding Our Places in the World, which will feature more than 130 famous or prized maps, including some original drawings by Leonardo da Vinci, the map Charles Lindbergh carried with him on his historical flight. And then you may say, why is this related to this show? Because some of J.R.R. Tolkien's original maps of Middle Earth are going to be featured in this display of maps.
Ooh.
So if you're a huge Tolkien fan, Lord of the Rings, Hobbit, Cimmerillion, that sort of thing, this is a display you might be interested. Again, the name of the display is Finding Our Places in the World. It will be in Chicago. Check it out.
Guaranteed there's not even one map that says you are here.
There might be, and that would be funny.
Well, one would hope.
George Lucas and Mark Hamill will be teaming up with Seth Green and those wacky stop-motion animators over at Robot Chicken this summer to do a 30-minute Star Wars spoof.
Oh, boy.
That's going to air on Comedy Central.
Does George Lucas need to be spoofing on himself? Really?
You know what? I appreciate the fact that he's going to be spoofing on himself. And I think that because this is part of the 30th anniversary this year, I think it's probably just another project that's tied into that. Now, for those of you who don't watch Robot Chicken, Robot Chicken has already done several sketches that have involved Star Wars related characters, stuff like that. And apparently, Lucas and some of the people over at Lucas Industries were enamored with the pieces and wanted to display them on the StarWars.com website. They got into discussion with Robot Chicken, Seth Green, and the crew, and they agreed to do this production together. And I don't know. I think it's going to be pretty funny. I happen to be a big fan of Robot Chicken. I think it's a pretty funny show. And some of the voice actors sounds pretty good. Conan O'Brien, Seth MacFarlane, Malcolm McDowell, Hulk Hogan, James Vanderbeek, Donald Faison, Joey Fatone. Come on.
Fat one?
Yeah, the fat one. Exactly. Mark Hamill, George Lucas. So look for that this summer. Sometime in June, I believe that is.
That's very exciting.
There was a recent press junket for Spider-Man 3 in which there was some discussion with Sony Pictures and Sam Raimi. And again, Spider-Man's 4, 5, and 6 have come up. Again, Sam Raimi has said that it would be very hard to say goodbye to Spider-Man and that he would be very interested in continuing the franchise, provided that everybody from the original team was interested in continuing the franchise and provided that the storylines that they were going to tell in the movies were worthwhile storylines. So there is a possible future for Spider-Man past.
Did you think the second was better than the first?
The second was different than the first.
Come on, man.
But I liked
it. Was it better?
I think it was better, actually.
I think it was better too, but I think they show a stumbling block. They show a bit of weakness. I couldn't get over the whole thing about why he loses his power, why he has the anxiety about the power, and you know he just can no longer walk on walls and shoot the webs. I just can't get over that.
I don't agree with that. I think that it was a silly addition to the Spider-Man history. But I think what they were doing was this humanization of superheroes that we talked about on Heroes.
Right.
And I think they were trying to make Spider-Man more human, and they had to give him a flaw. And so by allowing his human emotions to affect his superpowers, they've made him more of a human and less of a superhero.
Right, so they gave him impotence, basically.
Pretty much.
But I think that they could do these movies pretty much forever. You know,
sure.
It could be like a James Bond or Rocky, say.
Exactly.
But if they avoid what I deem to be silly things like that, if they stick to what works.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still a little concerned about this upcoming film, and I think depending on how that goes, will be a big turning point as to whether or not they continue to choose to continue the franchise. Rather, according to first quarter sales, Blu-ray has outsold high definition by 70%.
I don't believe it.
Okay.
Well, I believe you, but I don't believe that.
Let me tell you,
yeah.
Having experience working in a video store, which I do in addition to this,
you do
your Randall
wacky, crazy show, We do sell more Blu-ray than we do sell high def. Mm-hmm. Not to mention that the number of titles that are available on Blu-ray is a lot greater than high def. We get more new releases on Blu-ray each week than we do high def. And I'm talking about 10 to 1 some weeks.
Have you ever conducted some sort of informal survey saying, are you playing this on a PS3?
I ask every single person that buys Blu-ray what they're playing it on. And most of them say that they're not playing it on a PS3.
Wow.
Most of them have gone out and purchased the player. Now, many of them own dual players or both players.
Hybrids.
Really?
Hybrid players.
So there's actually the first triple player is now available in the U.S. from Best Buy. So, plays all three formats. And I'd like to make a comment on this since... I didn't comment on the last segment too much. I would just like to say...
So you're going
to
talk a lot now?
You know why Blu-ray is very popular and HD isn't?
Why is that?
It has nothing to do whatsoever with quality. It's because we're so desensitized to the phrase HD or to high definition at this point. Because everything is high def. Everything is HD. It's always being talked about. HD, HD, HD. Blu-ray just sounds cool.
You know, I think that's pretty... That's an excellent observation.
It is.
But I don't buy it from me, and here's why. If I go to buy something and it doesn't say HD, and I know that it's not HD capable, or it has HD capability, but for some reason, like the Apple TV right now, you can't buy HD content and actually play it on it, I don't even want it. I don't want to watch the non-HD stations. It pains me. I like UFC. I go to watch it on Spike TV, and it doesn't come in HD. The cable company I have now, Verizon, has Verizon Fios has that channel reserved for Spike TV HD, but it doesn't come in.
Right.
That pisses me off.
Isn't Blu-ray high def though?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
But Kevin's
it's just
talking
a different. It's a different formatting for the disc.
Right.
The word high def.
Right.
The
word high def.
HD.
And the acronym HD.
Right. But what I'm saying to you
we
is
we are desensitized to it.
You're saying that you don't believe the hype that Blu-ray is doing better. And you're frustrated with high def, but Blu-ray is high def.
No.
I don't believe the hype just because I don't believe,
hype.
I don't believe these announcements that are made about the numbers that come out of these companies.
Right.
They're skewed. They're done by companies that they hire.
What were you telling us before? That rumor you heard before about was it Target or somebody is just going to carry HD?
Walmart has decided that HD DVD will be the next generation of video that they will carry.
Right. So they're going to carry, only HD?
That's what I heard.
Now, what a kind of ridiculous rumor is that? It's as ridiculous as, Blu-ray is outselling. It's all, this whole branding thing brings me right back to the 80s with VHS and Betamax, because it's exactly the same situation all over again. And yes, one of them won out in the end, but really... It wasn't because one was better than the other. It's because one was already out there. And point of fact is these days, and it's already begun. It was already pushed at me from Best Buy Billy, Triple B, brought me right over and said, look at this, plays all three formats, regular, high def, and Blu-ray. Now, if they're going to put out a player that plays all of the formats, and it does this with component cables and so on and so forth.
Right.
There is going to be no difference whatsoever in the sales because the majority of people are going to go for whichever one is cheapest.
Of course.
It's going to look the same. On a 103-inch plasma, you would really have to be up there with a microscope to see any significant difference, first off, between HD and Blu-ray. And secondly, really, between DVD and any other DVD.
Okay, I don't know if you even consider these facts because it's off of Slashdot, but this is off of Slashdot.org, and it's referencing another article, and they're saying that several readers have written in saying that Walmart will be ordering 2 million HD DVD players from China. And the speculation is that because Walmart has such clout in the industry and they can really make the money on the HD DVDs by selling them, they're going to really push HD DVD, bring the price of the players down for HD, which, like the comment you just made, will cause more people to buy it because it's cheaper. And that is an effective strategy, usually.
Right.
And I think that's where the origin of the whole rumor itself. Oddly enough, though, right next to it is a giant ad for Blu-ray.
Right. Look, all I'm saying is that based on the first quarter sales of the product, and people have been studying these since they came out, Blu-ray is currently outselling high def. Now, whether or not that's because Blu-ray has more titles available, I don't know how that's factored into there. But I'm just saying that obviously people are studying this very closely. The war is far from over. And, you know, I just wanted to let you know where we stood after the first quarter of the year.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
You don't have to believe me.
Yeah, I don't.
But you're going to be very excited, Mr.
What's
Fantastic.
That?
Because this next segment, these two pieces of paper in front of me right here, completely and totally dedicated to video games.
And what games is those?
Well, I've got a couple.
Okay.
Start
slow and then go fast.
I'm going to start slow.
I mean, start small
I'm
and then get
start
bigger.
With Force Unleashed, the next generation Star Wars game that was supposed to be coming out later this summer.
Which I've only seen mock-ups and stills and concept art from.
Right, which all looked very nice. Even some of the video, the quick little video stuff that I had seen was very nice. Mm-hmm. But for some bizarre reason, it has been pushed back to the second quarter of 2008. But I haven't found a good reason why yet.
I'm going to take a guess.
Okay.
They don't know what they're doing with it. Gameplay-wise, I don't think they know what they're doing with it.
Yes. I think you're right. I think they wanted to rush the product out there as part of this 30th mm-hmm. anniversary celebration, like I said earlier, and they're just not ready to put it out there.
I mean, they've been hyping it, and they've been talking about
it, sure.
And they show these images that look really cool, but most of them just make you say, wow, wouldn't it be cool if, and just more and more ideas, but I haven't seen anything concrete to say, wow, it looks like it'll be fun to play that level or that situation,
right.
Anything like that. So, I mean, that's my guess.
Well, it begs the inevitable question.
Yeah.
And more importantly, the more important question, and that is, will this delay the toys from Hasbro?
I doubt it.
So you think they're going to go ahead and they're going to ship a bunch of characters and designs with no backup whatsoever?
I think...
Before the game comes out?
I think that most of the characters are established already.
Nope. We learned that at Toy Fair.
We learned that the storyline is new, but the figures that we saw, a lot of the figures we saw were Vader and Luke.
No.
I know there's at least one guard.
There's no Luke.
We saw a guard that had, oh, not Luke. I'm sorry, because but we saw Vader. Did we see, we saw somebody else. We saw a bunch of characters that, we saw guards. The guards have new weapons.
The guards have new armor, okay. New weapons.
I think that they're going to, I don't think that it's going to, first of all,
I think the toys,
just because we saw them at Toy Fair in February, doesn't mean that they're coming out before the end of 2007 anyway.
Well,
they might be third or fourth quarter.
And now how long is the game delayed?
They're saying second quarter 2008. So it might still be close.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I hope.
I don't know.
It would seem kind of a waste to me to release those toys before that game came out.
I don't know. We'll see.
All right.
But you mentioned seeing gameplay, and you mentioned saying to yourself, I really wish I could play that level. I really wish I could do that. That's what's intriguing me about the game. And I know that you've seen this, and I know that you're excited about it. That 7 minutes of Halo 3 footage.
What footage?
Actual gameplay.
What footage?
From the beta.
I don't know of any footage.
I sent you the link, you bastard.
Matt, you must deny that you've seen this footage. You know that.
I have to not deny that I've seen this footage.
Wait, I didn't see this footage. Why didn't you send me the link?
I did send you.
Can we cut this part out?
Why? Why do we have to deny it?
Because I'm pretty sure I just admitted it.
Why can't you admit it?
It's leaked footage.
It is leaked
from what I'm assuming would be the stage right before public beta, so it's probably like some people who are still on the inside, but now they're letting their families play, and
right.
some guy's kid got a hold of it, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
That's not the facts, but that's just my guess.
Opinion.
That's my opinion.
I didn't get a link to this, I'd like to point out.
I sent you the link.
I think you and Fantastic are in a conspiracy to involve me not in this.
I think
when's the last time you've been on the internet? Because... You go to like CNN.com. It's like Halo leak, Halo 3 multiplayer beta leak.
I didn't see it.
No, it's not like that, but it's close.
Well, I did send you a thing, but let's talk about some of the specifics that we saw in the gameplay trailer. Let's start with the level.
The level is the Halo 3-ified version of Zanzibar,
right?
Which is the one with the giant wheel in Halo 2.
Oh, that's my favorite one in Halo 2.
There's a beachfront, and then kind of this
wall.
Yeah, like a beach wall that you go under.
And it has a little tunnel.
Right.
And then it has a big spinny wheel and a little bunker.
Right, and the draw in Halo 2 is that it had an operating a gate that you could operate
right.
from a control on the inside, so you could drive the Warthog over around the left, and somebody can sneak in the right side and pop open the gate,
yeah,
and you
can
hear the metal creaking sound, and everybody would say, "Who opened the friggin' gate?" And then you can, you know, drive right in and drop the bomb off.
That was kind of you kind of yelling that at me, really fantastic, when we used to
play. But
you
were supposed to be guarding the friggin' switch.
Look, I am a sniper. I am a sniper. Put me in a high point with a sniper rifle, and I'm your man.
You told me you were defense.
That's defense.
That's not defense. Defense is like sitting guarding the flag with a rocket launcher.
I am
on the,
sitting
on the stairway
in a high position.
No, see, he's
I'm overlooking the beach. I'm picking guys off as they're trying to get in close.
You play this. You're the one. You got the kids yelling racial slurs at you online for a good reason.
Look
what?
Look, let me just say this. There are two things at Halo that I do well.
What's that?
I snipe well, and I drive the Warthog well. Now, admit, now, Mr. Fantastic, I want you to be honest. Have you and I not been successful as a team when I've driven the Warthog and you've done the work?
We've been pulled over, but we've never gotten any tickets.
Is that a positive? I guess that is positive.
Yeah, we've been okay.
We've done well.
Let's talk a little bit more about Zanzibar.
All right.
Because it brings to mention...
Olivia Newton-John movie, 1981.
That's Xanadu. That's Great also
Diner.
Coming to Broadway.
Really?
Yeah. But we won't talk about that another time on the show, maybe outside of the show.
Okay.
It brings to mind a conversation that I had with you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Fantastic, when we saw this trailer. And that was some of the glitches in the game that we disliked.
Were there glitches?
One being the super jump.
Yeah, man.
Zanzibar was one of those levels where the super jump was so awfully abused. When you were back behind that building right on the beach, and you can like go from like the lowest point of the beach all the way to the top of that building with like two button pushes.
Well, this is like Halo, and Halo was a great game. We played that a lot. It's still a great game.
Yeah.
All right. Halo 2 was also a great game, but because it was online and because so many goddamn people played it, and they played it a lot, you had them finding every little bug that you can
possibly...
Yeah, all the little exploits. And there's something that, no matter how much Bungie tried, they were never able to curb. And still, I've seen it happening in all the new maps, and it happens in old maps, and every one of the old maps has some part of it, at least one part, where there's a piece of geometry that you can do this little physics exploit, where it eventually, it looks like you're walking into a wall. And some, you know, if I were one player, it would look like you were walking into the wall, and eventually you'd stop walking into the wall, you'd jump, and when you'd hit the ground, your jump, the bounce that you'd have off the ground would be like... multiplied a bazillion, and you'd fly straight up into the air.
Nice.
And this just takes the fun out of it, because there's places in some of the maps that you can get to that you can just hang out up there forever. So if you were to take, say, the skull what's that game called? Kill the Man with the Ball. Oddball.
Oddball.
Yeah, you jump up there and you have for the rest of the game, and nobody can even touch you. There's nothing they can do. You're up there. And that was my biggest gripe.
That's like why we played that game in Derelict, because there was none of that. Was it Derelict? The one where it was just like the room, the round room?
Well, you know, it's funny you say that, because they've tried to fix it in some of the more recent maps, like the ones we spoke about last week, Tombstone and Desolation, the remakes of Derelict and Hang 'em High.
Right.
And what they haven't actually fixed the physics. What they've done is put these artificial death boxes around some of the areas. So in Derelict, although you can actually cause this super jump to happen and it'll fling you right up into the air about like 50 feet high, your guy will just and then start waving his arms and legs and you're dead, and it'll, you know, fall back down. So you learn, you figure out how to do it. So, you do it once and then you're discouraged.
Some text should come up on the screen that says, "Nice try, ass."
It's Pavlov is what it is.
So for me, the issue with Halo 3 is not, you know, take a look at this level, take a look at these weapons. As long as the weapons are balanced, I don't even care what the cool new ones are. I just want to get in there and start playing and have fun and then not have it ruined.
I got two words for you.
What is it?
Geodesic shield.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Way
because
to go.
That's in the trailer.
That's in the trailer.
That shield is in the trailer. That scene where you see him running towards the edge of the platform, and all of a sudden he hits a wall, and the shield glows, and I guess there's someone hiding underneath the shield, so it cloaks them somehow. You know what I'm talking
about,
Yeah,
they're not cloaked. It does kind of like a bendy light effect.
Yeah,
so the light bends around it.
Them.
Right, but you can actually see through. you can see some on-screen text pop up, and I think that they've actually, guys from Bungie have referred to this before as the bubble shield.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a ball with a stick on it, so it's kind of like a little transponder or something that goes on the ground and you can kick around that creates this shield. And it looks like you can fit maybe two and a half Master Chiefs on the inside of it.
Right.
And somebody actually, they demonstrate how it works with grenades and with gunfire in that somebody engaged the shield in the video, and then he throws a grenade, so it bounces off the shield, and he goes inside of it, and he's like merely inches away. The grenade explodes, but he doesn't get harmed at all. And then he kind of shoots it, and he does it the reverse way when he's on the inside and he runs to the outside.
Right.
So you see it in use. The effect looks really cool.
Yeah.
I think some of the textures and stuff like that are awesome. The level itself looks like it's been blown out and expanded, and there's a lot of places to hide, and it's much bigger.
All right, but so what's the long and skinny on this Fantastic? What are we
thinking?
We got
the multiplayer beta coming up in May.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure the game's been delayed a little bit longer. Until later
Christmas?
This year.
Christmas?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah? Hmm. Be a big item for Christmas.
But you'll see a lot of video of it coming up in May, so.
Okay.
And you could even play it yourself.
In the world of MMOs, Lord of the Rings Online, Shadows of Angmar, launched 4/24/2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
The crowd goes mild.
Exactly. No, you know what? I've read some good stuff about it. I've read some bad stuff about it. The bad stuff about it seems to be that you can't play any of the villain races. But as far as gameplay, it looks halfway decent. I've spoken to a couple people online that really liked it, and a couple people who wouldn't even give it a try because you can't play villains.
Can you build your own house?
I don't know. I haven't been able to find out that.
Look, that is what is keeping me off of World of Warcraft. There is no personal. There is no personal like investment.
Abode, right.
There's no personal investment. Everything you own, all these hundreds of thousands of items are magically stored on your person. I hate that.
Are you sure about this?
World of Warcraft?
Yeah.
Pretty sure.
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure it's that way.
You're sure, because next week...
You cannot have a house. You cannot have a horse.
I don't want... Yeah, well, you can have a horse.
But you can only use it. It's not like your horse.
No, it's your mount. It's your horse.
Look, the point I'm making... is that it isn't Star Wars Galaxies.
No.
You couldn't make a house. You can't decorate your house the way you like. You can't have your ships and paint your ships and do all these things. There's no personalization, customization to World of Warcraft other than the get-go. And I don't like that, and I'm wondering if Lord of the Rings is the same way.
I don't know, but I do want to throw it out there to the listeners. If any of you have played this or are planning on playing it, please kind of let me know. Let us know what you think, what you like, what you don't like, what the flaws are, because I'm not jumping into it at $13 a month and $60 to throw to buy it off the bat.
Is there a trial period or no?
There might have been if you were in the beta.
Ouch.
There might be a 1 month free, but
you still have to dump
the $60 into the software.
I'm still hoping Star Wars is coming around.
Moving past Lord of the Rings Online, but back to something we talked about briefly last week. You had asked me if I had played Super Paper Mario yet and what I had thought about it. And I said that I hadn't, but I had heard it was fun. And so I went out and I bought it over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
I love it.
Really?
I think it's great. I don't care what any of the game magazine says. I've read like 3 reviews online that say the game is absolute shite, and I just don't care. The game is really fun to play. The concept behind the game is a good twist on the original Paper Mario that was out.
All right, you flip to the 3D world. You just gotta stop. What is Paper Mario?
They've taken Mario, and they've put him in this two-dimensional flat world. Everything is flat.
Like South Park for Mario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And with this new version of the game, one of the abilities that you have is that you can temporarily flip over to a three-dimensional world so that you can actually see everything in normal 3D. And it's not just side-scrolling. Now you can go in all directions.
Okay.
And it makes some of the puzzles more fun. It makes some of the difficult parts more interesting as far as how you... get past them or how you could choose to get past them.
Uh-huh.
It's just really fun. Plus, it works in some elements of RPGs in there insofar as, you know, you do spend time in towns and there are merchant shops and inns and restaurants where you can go and buy food and, you know, you could save your game at an inn and
Is this a Wii game?
It is a Wii game.
Yeah, no interest whatsoever.
So this one's even though it's a spiritual successor to the RPG line of games that have been out since the Super Nintendo.
Right.
It has a lot more, it's a lot more action oriented, right? You actually jump on guys' heads and things like that.
You
it's
do.
Not turn based.
It is not turn based. It is as far as combat is concerned,
right,
it's like Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. You know, he comes by and you jump on his, the Koopa flies by and you jump on his head and kick the shell. I mean,
it never gets old, Mario Brothers.
It you know what? It doesn't. And when they keep on adding these little twists to, I really think it's fun. I mean, that's the only way to describe the game. It's fun. It does make some use of the Wiimote for one or two of the special abilities.
Wiimote.
And I think it's just a good game. I think it's another good application of the capabilities of the system. I think at a price point that's close to $10 or $15 cheaper than what you would see a PS3 game or an Xbox 360 game for, it's definitely user or cost friendly. And I think that it's going to do pretty well despite reviews.
There's no nunchucks in a 20-mile radius, so if any listeners know of where I can get one, let us know.
Did you try Chinatown?
They only sell the Japanese version of the Wii there.
Really?
They only got grappling hooks.
See, that's funny. That's a funny callback.
That's only funny if you were listening 15 episodes ago
and you were paying attention. You should be paying.
Oh, come on. We are downloading those episodes. So that's going to end this little video game segment for today.
And hopefully the news segment, because it's been epically long.
That's okay. We only have one other segment to go to today. It'll be a good segment. It'll be a nice show.
Yeah, lovely.
Let's take a break.
You're my grandmother? This will be a nice show.
Hey, this is Mr. Fantastic. It's time for the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to get interactive with the show. And there are many ways to do this. You can visit us at myspace.com/BigKev'sGeekStuff or come talk to me about my G.I. Joe and Star Wars action figures at the forums found at BigKev'sGeekStuff.com/forum. Drop us a line or leave us a review on the iTunes store by searching for Geek Stuff under podcasts. And if you want to hear more of Big Kev's Geek Stuff live on XM Satellite Radio, drop him a line at eric.logan@xmradio.com. So help Big Kev's Geek Stuff continue to grow and expand by taking a few moments to show your support.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm.
Hey, this is Catherine Bach from Dukes of Hazzard, and y'all are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
The only way they know how.
And we're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 56, one for the road, one before we take a week off to catch up on our lives.
Right.
And we're going to introduce tonight a new character on the show.
Ooh.
And this character is in response to something that we've noticed particularly the last 2 years.
Okay.
In our journeys to the International Toy Fair.
In New York City.
Right. We have noticed, Matt and I have noticed, that there are a lot more religious-themed products being put out, particularly in the last 2 years. And not only are they just kind of like religious-themed products, but they're good religious-themed products. I mean, in the sense that the quality is very good.
Oh, sure.
And presumably, you know, their usefulness or their appropriateness, I guess, for lack of a better word, is good as well. And so we're bringing in our new character, Brother Billy. Brother Billy is going to talk to us tonight. Brother Billy, how are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm good. We want to discuss what we think is an emerging phenomenon, and we'd like to know if you have any thoughts as to why maybe in the last couple of years more religious-themed toys and products and so forth. Then we're going to talk about some individual examples as we go through, but maybe as a general overall opening, Brother Billy, do you have any thoughts on why this might be occurring?
I think it probably has two components to the answer here, I guess. One, I think it's there is an attempt to maybe fine for those people who are particularly either really ultra conservative or even those who are just sort of lean that way, maybe to find toys that are appropriate for their children, maybe, or even collectors who are looking for, you know, again, a line that they can say, well, it's not violent, it's not this, it's not that.
Right.
We put a, you know, religious spin on it, and we have, you know, suitable, appropriate toys and items that we feel comfortable with.
Right.
And I think the other is that perhaps we are moving into a place where we're not dismissing all religion in society, but we're actually coming to a place where maybe we can find a balance of, okay, how do we actually be a society that acknowledges religion in people's lives, and so why can't it be in the context of toys?
Okay.
That's good.
Sure.
I see what Brother Billy is saying. It just seems like if we as a society are moving in that direction, then like everything else that we've been talking about recently about society, you know, the society is kind of making geek culture more its own. And by and large, it would follow forth that things of a religious nature would kind of get their stab at geek society as
sure.
well. That makes sense.
Sure, which again just plays into everything the show talks about, where geek society works its way into every other aspect of society, more and more so.
And maybe there are religious geeks looking for representation.
I'm sure there are.
There you go. Well, undoubtedly, if you see the scope of the products that are coming out, and let's talk about a few of them. A couple of years ago, we featured a product on did we feature it on the show or
I think we did
in my column, I know for sure, Big Kev's Critical Toys. I featured products called Holy Folks.
Yes.
Brother Billy was the proud recipient of my Holy Folks.
I got four of them.
That's right.
Nice.
And do you remember what they were, Billy?
Well, there was a Moses who had his little magnetic Ten Commandments that you could connect.
Right, they had magnetic hands.
Right.
Right, I remember that. So they could be put together in a praying
position. Right, and then, right, you can pray and they
right.
stay close. And let's see, there was a Noah that had a little elephant magnet attached to it. There was a Jesus. And the fourth one was a Mary, I believe, with
right.
a little baby Jesus.
I had a little
magnetic
baby
Jesus.
Jesus.
Yep.
Jesus had a staff, right? Was that?
Yeah, Jesus had a staff.
Had a staff.
Yeah. Jesus had a staff. Yep.
And these were fully plush,
right.
fully realized plush figures of these persons from the Bible. And like Billy was explaining, they had magnetic features. And to me, it seemed like this was a good way to introduce and to activate a small child's interest, or is indoctrination a too strong a word?
No.
The Bible and the characters in the Bible and these persons.
Sure.
There were soft plush.
They
had
were a
some
learning
actions.
Tool.
A learning tool. Would, Billy, a learning tool, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's hard because you had the conversation, I'm assuming, with the people who...
Right.
I haven't talked to them. I would hope that they would be a learning tool. I mean, I hope that that's the ultimate end. I think... I don't know. For me, if it's just trying to mimic what's already out there just so you can have a Christian version of a plush toy,
right.
I don't see the value in that at all. I think if you're going to use it as a learning tool and you want to, you know, get little kids acclimated to things, and I see some merit to it, but at the same time I wonder, is it just then become a mimic of a culture that already exists rather than actually setting any sort of trend?
Okay, I have an example for you.
Okay.
I think the Holy Folks were definitely a learning tool. Speaking to the people that were representing the product, that owned the company, they definitely presented it as a means for helping their children, and then hopefully other people's children, just like Kevin said, get familiar with the characters, and as a means of maybe bringing the stories to life outside of verbal or the book.
Sure.
Okay.
And there's illustrated Bibles and all that. So yeah.
Right.
And they also I remember them saying to us, that one of the things that they liked is they said that, look, you can kneel and pray with Jesus. You know, like the hands would come together right on the piece because of the magnetic bits. And they had the knees were such that would bend. And so that when the kids were saying their nightly prayers or their daily prayers right or what have you, that they could kneel just like the Jesus, right, Mary, Moses, and so forth.
So holy folks, I think, definitely did have a learning background behind it, an educational background behind it. But another product that was available before Holy Folks came out, I think, was taking advantage of the characters and not using them as learning, but really kind of using them as just, let's get a religious action figure out there, especially from a company that is more associated with silly
right
figures. A company that I happen to love, don't mind you, and a company we featured on this show many, many times before. The name of the company is Accoutrements.
Accoutrements.
Accoutrements puts out product that is like famous people in history or just famous people in general. And it's like they have an Einstein figure and an Edgar Allan Poe figure, but they also have Crazy Cat Lady and Bigfoot. And a while back, one of the first Accoutrements figures I remember seeing was Jesus. And it was definitely, I think it was definitely not educational, obviously. Right. I think it was really just meant to be
fun.
I almost don't even have a problem with that so much. I guess there's a middle of the road for me that probably, if I were to say, quote unquote, bothers me.
Right.
It's the ones that are trying to pass, like, that doesn't sound to me then as legitimate. That sounds to me as we are poking fun at this, but doing it in a
right
as respectfully as we can right to poke fun at something that's obviously has deep people are deeply committed to.
Right. Well, wait. Now, see, I can take it one step further, because in the years following their initial release, they did release a glow-in-the-dark Jesus, and they did release a deluxe box set Jesus, which we have actually in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Was that the
product?
Was it the Last Supper? Was that one?
It was not the Last Supper. No, it's a box set of Jesus, and he has loaves and fishes.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And he has some other accoutrements. No pun intended.
If I can go beyond, I guess, toys for a second and try to draw an analogy. There is now, and I'm assuming that you guys freely express whatever's on your mind in this show.
One would hope.
I would hope so as well. There are now, we can't use as, religious people or as Christians or whatever, Wikipedia, because that's just too much. So we have Conservapedia,
right?
Which I don't know if you're aware of that.
Didn't know that was
again.
There,
it's a mimic of the existing website saying, but we've put a specific spin on it, so now it's safe for you. Or, well, yeah, there's YouTube, but we can't handle that, so now we have GodTube. And so there are these, there are these things that exist specifically to say, well, we like the idea, but we don't like what's presented, so we're going to mimic the culture,
but
put a spin on it that makes it okay and family friendly. And I think that's just, I think it's hackish. Like, that's not legitimate.
Right.
That's not authentic. You're not setting a trend. You're not coming up with creative ideas. You're just stealing somebody else's because you don't like maybe what something that was said on it.
Right.
That to me is more limiting. And I think sometimes when you get into these religious toys, they're doing the same thing.
Okay.
You know? And it's like, well, what really are we representing? What is your motive behind this?
Well, let's talk about a few more of the toys that are some of the other things. Right there next to you, Brother Billy, you have a couple of items that we picked up at Toy Fair. The Jesus and Moses, they're from One to Believe is the name of the company. You can check them out at onetobelieve.com, and that's O-N-E, the number 2, believe.com. And this is their Messengers of Faith line. It's a series of stylized, cartoony, what would you say that, about a foot tall?
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's a 12-inch.
12-inch figure. we have one here of Jesus, one of Moses. We're pretty sure that there's more in the line. And they say, they have phrases that they say.
John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
Wow, a bit long-winded for a talking toy.
Well, they have extensive, and they have several sayings. Like, I have the Moses here.
You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below.
Doesn't sound like Charlton Heston.
Oh, and yeah, he does kind of creepy sounding.
But he says the Ten Commandments, and then he, each time you successfully press, like it's difficult, every time you successively press the button, you will get another one of the commandments, and I guess they follow. And I guess Jesus is the same thing. Brother Billy, what do you think about something like the messengers of faith?
I don't like it. I mean, I gotta tell you, I really, well, aside from the fact that it's a little too Aryan for me, I mean, the basic, you know, blue-eyed, you know, white-skinned Jesus, I have just issues with to begin with.
Okay.
You know, not that he needs to be, you know, black, but he should probably represent the area that they're from. I mean, he is, you know, has a Hebrew background in the Middle East.
Right.
So clearly, this has, you know...
It's not German Jesus.
He's got Pro-V hair. I mean, he's, you know...
Is it anglified? Is that it?
It's a bit.
We should say also about the pieces. They come in a nice box packaging. They have the Try Me feature on the back so you can hear the phrases. They also come with a map of, I guess, everywhere the Bible takes place.
For This Is Life, because this gives, I mean, the one for Jesus has Nazareth.
I think it's the same. There's Megiddo, Mount Gilboa.
Yeah.
And the Sea of Galilee and some big river. Is that the Nile?
That's the Jordan.
Jordan River. And Samaria. And then also there is some flavor text on the bottom about the character or the person on the front.
Well, aside from their obviously Aryan features?
See, I have to wonder, what is the point of this? I mean, is this something you're like, oh, I hope my kids play with this instead of Ninja Turtles? Or like, to what extent does this really serve a purpose other than, hey, look, we strapped, you know, Jesus with a voice recorder and he can tell us stuff from the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know if I get the motive behind this. And I guess that's a problem for me.
Is there a motive that you would understand this working under?
This particular product? No. I really wouldn't. I don't see the end to this product
at
all.
See, the Holy Folks, I think, worked as a learning tool because I think it was geared towards a younger age group. And so it worked. It was, you know, everything about it, the simplicity of it, the fact that it was plush. This really almost does get into more of a figure base. And I don't think that it has as much learning benefits as something else. I mean, because I think you're talking about an older group of children or person that would be interested in this product. So maybe the motive behind the product, I mean, maybe it's just a toy collector who is also religious and wants a 12-inch Jesus.
We should say also about the pieces that they do feature multiple points of articulation, including some articulation in the hands, which you don't often see in kind of a non-really large-scale release.
Sure.
In addition to that, there is real cloth costuming on each piece. Moses here has a cane accessory.
Yeah, Jesus doesn't come with anything.
Jesus has no accessories. Moses has just nifty sandals. Does Jesus have nifty sandals?
Jesus does have nifty sandals.
These are nifty. They're nifty little sandals, I have to say. And, you know, not again, a bit of a cartoony sculpt. Brother Billy has mentioned about the kind of, I guess, would we say it's racial inaccuracies, shall we say, of the piece. But by and large, the sculpts are kind of cartoony. They're a little SD. And the other thing I think that Brother Billy had mentioned earlier, which I'm going to mention now, is the fact that both Jesus and Moses, awfully buff.
They are extremely well built.
Yeah, man.
Which maybe, you know, being a carpenter and or walking around the desert for 40 years can do that. But
sure.
Again, it's... What are you trying to get at here? What is the point of this? Are you just trying to come up with a Christian version or, you know, biblical version of real toys so that you can say, well, I give my kids this, or like, what are you trying to get at with these things? I don't get it.
I think that definitely the motivation behind these is a little more blurred. I think that maybe someone who is more conservative or more heavily religious that doesn't want any sort of violent toy in their house might go towards this. I don't know how well it would work with a child, to be honest with you.
I don't know.
You know, I think it's definitely more blurred with this product than something else. Sure.
I agree.
Let's move on a little bit.
Okay.
Into one of the other products that we were sent after Toy Fair, which is not a toy per se, but again, I want to make sure that we're covering a broad spectrum of of religious product here. And what Brother Billy has is a DVD volume of Shalom Sesame, which is, I guess, the Hebrew version or the Jewish skewed version of Sesame Street, featuring all the Muppets that you know and love, and special guest stars, I presume, with special Jewish or Jewish religion themed pieces throughout.
Well, I have a problem with that.
Read a couple of these. You have Sarah Jessica Parker, Itzhak Perlman, Mary Tyler Moore, B.B. King, and Oscar the Grouch.
Well, there you go. All the stars covered.
I have a problem with that product, but we're not here for my opinion. So what's your opinion?
Now, see, that's funny because I actually think I really like this.
Okay.
I think that, and again, I haven't seen it, so it's hard for me to make a complete judgment. But from what I'm reading on the back, it says a fun-filled, fact-filled journey to Israel and its rich cultural heritage. I see this as, this gives, you know, kids a chance to learn about Passover, you know, for example, that's one of the episodes, right? And I think that is so essential, especially in, you know, looking at the world today and looking at a lot of the conflicts that get based around ignorance of other people's religions and drawing conclusions. What a great tool to actually teach kids about some of the things that go on in religions, whether it's Passover or other holidays. You know, getting them at a young age exposed to that, I think, is a great idea. Yeah, I think, you know, when you got Muppets involved, it's always going to be a little hokey and kitschy, and, you know, but I love the Muppets,
but
so I'm sold.
But that's not why I have issue with
it. Okay, what do you have issues with?
You know, I think that if that was...
Everything, he's a cynic.
No. I think if it was just the one DVD...
I can't believe you called somebody a cynic.
Yeah, I know, right? I think if it was just the one DVD,
okay, right,
with a few select episodes that were geared towards that, I would agree with you. I think that, especially in a world that is... or in this country, at the very least, especially in this country, you know, religions outside of Christianity,
right,
are not represented well, for the most part.
I agree.
Okay? So having a Passover special for a young Jewish child of Sesame Street, I agree with. But when we were at this booth, I don't think it's just the one DVD. I think it's an entire series.
Well, this is disc 5, actually.
Yeah. I think where my problem lies is that Sesame Street as a product was not a religious-based product. It was a learning product, and it wasn't focused on any one religion. I mean, there may have been a Christmas special. So then, again, a Passover special would appropriate. But it's not like every single episode of Sesame Street is geared around Christianity.
Right.
Whereas every episode of Sesame Street Shalom, right? Is that what it's
Shalom,
Shalom Sesame.
So every episode of Shalom Sesame Street is somehow religiously geared, and I think that it's a product and its characters that don't need to be religiously geared in order to be effective learning tools for young children.
I would agree with that. I mean, I can see your point on that. And again, having not seen it and knowing what the other four discs are about,
right.
It's hard for me to make a total judgment, but I agree with that. I think, right, because then all you do then is you become, again, you take the basic idea, the original idea, and you just, you know, create variances that, you know, go into, oh, well, this is the Christian version of this, this is the Jewish version of this, and really then no one is learning anything. They're just buying the appropriate variety that fits them best.
It creates some sort of tunnel vision, I think, too.
I think
it narrows your mind as opposed to expanding your mind, which is something that Sesame Street, I think, was about.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important for Sesame Street to do things on Passover.
I think
it's important for Sesame Street to do things on Islam.
Oh, sure.
And Buddhism. And
yeah, I'd love to see Sesame Street Buddhism. I would love to see that.
I really do.
I'm not even joking. I would love to see how they spin. I would love to see how they do that.
But at the same time, I also think, you know, and not to get into another thing here, but a lot of times when groups like Sesame Street do a Passover thing, and then they try to cover Christmas, very rarely does it tackle the religious side of Christmas.
Yeah,
it's usually
sure.
Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. It's for Easter.
Do we refer to that as the cultural or the commercial side of Christmas versus the religious side?
And I think that's because people are afraid to of the backlash or the response, and so I think oftentimes it's actually sometimes even safer to go with something like Passover than it is to go with the real meaning of Christmas.
I just think that it's a slippery slope.
It is.
And I think that I think that having a few select episodes geared towards a certain group to expand it or expand the horizons of children, I think that's great. But I think that it should be incorporated into the regular program as opposed to being set aside by itself. Because, I think it just narrows your mind scope as opposed to broadening it.
Has Sesame Street ever done anything in terms of like a Passover?
To be honest with you, I don't know if they've ever done
on their regular show. I don't know. Fantastic. You still watch. Do you know if... no? Okay. All right. Well, that's going to kind of bring to a close our segment with Brother Billy.
Do we want to tease something for the future?
Well, we are going to tease something for the future. We want you all out there, and of course Brother Billy's going to be checking this out also. It's called wearefishermen.com, wearefishermen.com. It's some giftware. It's coming out from this company. And it's Jesus in representations that you will find
It's non-traditional.
Non-traditional, certainly. They're giftware. They're plastic.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and by giftware we mean it's not a toy or action figure per se. It's not a porcelain or ceramic figure per se. It's a giftware. It's kind of something that you might find in a Hallmark store or something inspirational gift. Product, if you will, I think is where we're going to go with description on this. I have already clued in Brother Billy, so what I'm hoping is that Brother Billy can give us a two-word impression of We Are Fishermen. We're going to tease that until the We Are Fishermen people are going to be sending us some of this product for Brother Billy to talk about. And so, Brother Billy, do you have two words for We Are Fishermen to describe your initial impressions?
Not sure.
not sure.
There it is.
That's good. And with that, we're going to end our segment. Thanks, Brother Billy.
No, thank you guys for having me on. I enjoyed my time here.
Thank you. We enjoyed you. And Brother Billy will be returning to us from time to time to discuss more of this, I want to say phenomenon, but I think that does that in some way say that it's not happened before? I don't know. Maybe we can discuss that next time Brother Billy is around.
Right. Okay.
And we'll be discussing We Are Fishermen. Thank you, Brother Billy.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with the, what'd you call it, Matt? The wrap-off?
Oh, the wrap-up, Kev.
You said wrap-off before. Fantastic. He said wrap-off, didn't he?
What's up, everyone? This is Kenneth Robert Marlowe, voice actor for the anime series Gravitation and Genshiken. You have a shop that deals in toys, comic books, and other geek-related stuff? Maybe you're an artist? Perhaps you got a band you want to promote? It's a good thing to know that the Geek Stuff audience is growing week by week. Perfect place to advertise your shop, your artistry, or your band gigs. Shoot an email over to bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com and talk to them about advertising right here on the show. Once again, that's bigkevsgeekstuff@gmail.com.
Hey, this is Yvonne Craig, TV's Batgirl, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode number 56.
That's right.
One for the road before we take a little break and try to catch up with everything else that's going on in our lives.
Geeky hiatus, if you will.
Yes, yes. Matt, what did we talk about in episode 56?
What didn't we talk about tonight? It seems like we covered way too much. But we did start off with debunking some rumors, two of which were the Gray Hulk will not be gray. He most likely will be green.
It's going to be weird having the Green Hulk, the Gray Hulk be green.
Yeah, I know.
That would have been really funny if I hadn't screwed it up.
And are the pictures of Heath Ledger as the Joker actually Heath Ledger as the Joker? Only time will tell.
I say no way. I talked about a new book coming from Marvel called The Civil War Chronicles, which will chronologically reprint the episode, the events that took place in both Civil War Frontline, and some of the important ancillary stories that were told, as well as some editorial comments regarding other events in the Marvel Universe that take place during this eventful period in Marvel history, or whatever.
Or whatever, indeed. We talked briefly about the Spider-Man musical that's coming to Broadway. Julie Taymor and Bono from U2 are working on this project. Will it be good? Most likely not. Will it happen? Possibly.
Will it suck balls? Fallen Sun, The Death of Captain America, Avengers issue, written by Jeff Loeb and drawn by one Ed McGuinness, has hit. Good read. I didn't like it as much as the Wolverine one, but, well, I don't like anything, supposedly.
On the coming out soon front, Spike Asylum in trade paperback 5/16/07 by our good friend Brian Lynch.
I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about our good friend.
I don't
Brian
know
Lynch.
That guy.
I want my Muppets.
I'm just saying. I don't know him. Scientists find real kryptonite.
Ooh!
And it will be on display again Sunday, May 13th in the Natural History Museum, which Fantastic informs us is in London, England.
Adrian Foreigner, how you doing?
Yes, Adrian Foreigner. Sodium, lithium, boron, silicate, hydroxide is the classification. It does exist, and it is not green crystals, but a white powdery substance, which is non-radioactive and contains no fluorine. Fluorine, or whatever it is.
Matthew Fox, better known as Jack on Lost, suiting up to be Racer X in the upcoming Speed Racer film by the Wachowski brothers.
Serenity fans will be no doubt happy that they can now take their lunch to school in a brand new metal lunchbox from Dark Horse Comics featuring the Serenity logo on one side, the Fruity Odie Bar logo picture on the other, and some of the currency used throughout the verse on the surrounding sides. And speaking of that, the second official companion, the official companion volume 2 to
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Yes,
three and done.
Has come three and done. Has come out. It features great photographs of sets and props and costumes, as well as many scripts and just great, great source material for the great television disaster that was Firefly. And not that the show was a disaster, but how it was handled and what happened to it.
Right. In a soon-to-be, hopefully popular map display in Chicago, Finding Our Places in the World, some of the original drawings from J.R.R. Tolkien's Middle Earth will be on display. So check that out if you're a Tolkien fan. George Lucas, Mark Hamill, Seth Green, and the rest of the Robot Chicken crew are doing a 30-minute Star Wars Robot Chicken-type spoof to air June 17th. Check it out. Definitely will be funny. Some of the voice talent of Conan O'Brien, Seth MacFarlane, Malcolm McDowell, Hulk Hogan, James Vanderbeek, and many more. In addition, Sam Raimi again has gone on record talking about Spider-Man's 4, 5, and 6. He will do it if the rest of the team does it, and if the storyline's good. Let's hope they do continue to do it, because I think there's more to do. Mm-hmm. We talked about some video game news, Force Unleashed, the next generation Star Wars game being pushed back to the second quarter of 02. Lord of the Rings, the online game.
Second quarter of 02?
The second quarter of 08.
That would
wow.
Be pushing Q2 and 08. Way back, won't it?
Yeah, in time. We need a flux fantastic capacitor.
Fantastic. Something about the space-time continuum. We have grossly mislabeled this episode. We should just rename it right now. It should be called Space-Time Continuum.
We could.
One for the that's it. One for the Space-Time Continuum.
So this should be episode 57, and when we come back from break, it should be episode 56.
No, stop it. Don't. Now you're confusing it. Let's just rename the episode One for the Space-Time Continuum.
Okay, so Star Wars The Force Unleashed, this next generation game, has been pushed back from this summer to second quarter of 2008. Lord of the Rings Online, The Shadows of Angmar, came out 4/24/07, and we want to know what you, the Geek Stuff listener, thinks about the game, what you like about it, what you hate about it. Kev doesn't like it because it's not galaxies. I tend to agree with him, but I want to know what you think. Super Paper Mario came out. I don't care what you think about the game. I think it's fun. I think it's a worthwhile buy. It's got a good price point and definitely worth checking out.
Is that on the Wii system?
That is on the Wii system.
Couldn't care less.
I know. And the Halo 3 trailer, the new beta actual gameplay trailer featuring another redone map, some fancy new weapons, including that geodesic thermal dome thing. What the hell is it actually called?
Geodesic dome shield.
The bubble shield.
Bubble shield.
It's actually called the bubble shield. Featuring the bubble shield in sort of action. That's pretty exciting. You can find that online. And also, Blu-ray outsold high def in the first quarter of 2007.
So the rumor goes, and the rumor also extends to Walmart's intention to pump HD by ordering HD machines and selling HD DVDs. I think it's all a bunch of bunk. There's already a triple player on the market that plays everything. And with that, I'm telling you, the market is going to go to the cheaper version. It looks great. Regular DVDs look awesome on high def TV. Why do we need these other formats? I just don't get it. I think after a while, they either got to come down lower in price than regular DVDs, or it just is going to burn out.
And before we wrap up this episode, don't forget you can check us out online at www.bigkevsgeekstuff.com or at myspace.com/bigkevsgeekstuff. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. If you don't, you can search the iTunes store for Geek Stuff and leave a review that way. Don't forget to check out the message boards and leave some posts about the episodes or whatever else you want to talk about in the geek culture. And that's going to wrap it up.
And if you want to hear us again on XM, don't forget to drop a line to eric.logan@xmradio.com. Tell him you like Big Kev's Geek Stuff and you want to hear it more on XM Satellite Radio. And a final thanks to our brand new character,
yes,
Brother Billy, who came by to talk to us about religious toys and the impact and necessity of them. And Brother Billy will be back to talk to us about We Are Fishermen and other products in the future. So thank you, Brother Billy.
And Brother Billy, if you ever want to come back to talk about any of this other geeky goodness, you're more than welcome anytime.
You know he has no interest whatsoever.
That's not true. He no, does. He was just as excited as the X-Men films as we were
okay,
when they first
true.
Came out.
All right, that's true.
So there.
Okay, you got me on that one. Fantastic. Gonna give you one more shot. Do you have any final words for episode 56, One for the Space-Time Continuum?
What have I got in my pocket?
And on that note, we cue the music. Tomorrow in her eyes. My attack will make the tale that her music lies. Looking
sure.